The Bible reading is from Numbers chapter 11 and is found in three parts. It begins on page 147 of the Pew Bibles. And as it starts, the Israelites were moaning amongst themselves. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land that you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now, if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." And the Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and made them stand round the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they didn't do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but didn't go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sue. What I'd like you to do, just turn to the person nearest to you and I'd like you to complain to them, moan, about anything. Anything you like. Moan. Complain. Okay, that's enough of that. It's enough of that. I know some of you really enjoyed that, didn't you? I could see, yeah, look at him. Look. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at this passage, we will be people who would be encouragers. We'd be people who would have your Holy Spirit in us and we would prophesy, speak the truth of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you know this story. The people of Israel, they've been in slavery. They've been led out by Moses and they've been wandering in the wilderness. And you know that it took them how long wandering in the wilderness before they reached the 40 years? How long would it have taken them if they hadn't wandered off so far? 11 days. And I wonder what was going on as they were wandering off the path, and I think that God was doing something in them in terms of refining them. But one of the things we notice about the people of Israel, and you notice it again and again and again, is that they're really good at doing what you just did. Moaning. They have become past masters at it. They are so good at it. And every time you pick up and you read Numbers, it's there in Numbers 11, verse 1, it says, "Now the people complained about their hardship." What were they complaining about? And if you remember nothing else that I say, remember two words, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Because God had provided for them in the wilderness. They'd moaned, they complained to God. God had given them manna from heaven, fresh manna poured out from heaven. And they were complaining because they didn't like it, they had enough of it. They got the manna, they made it into cakes, but enough was enough. I don't want any more manna. And how does it start off? If only we had meat. That's the title of my sermon. If only we had meat. If only we had meat, everything would be okay. Life would be hunky-dory. It would be brilliant. And I wonder if we've ever said that. If only we had dot, dot, dot. Life would be wonderful. And then when you get to whatever dot, dot, dot is, you realise that life isn't so wonderful. They'd forgotten the God who provides. They were sick of the food. And what does it say? We remember. Oh, it was wonderful when we were in Egypt. We remember the fish. We had it at no cost. We also remember the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. And at this point, some of you are salivating. And you're thinking about the meat which is in the oven and how long is he going to go on for, because your Sunday roast is going to get burnt. But you see, they remembered all the things they had in Egypt and how wonderful it was in Egypt. And what it was, they forgot. They had selective memory. The food was free. We had an abundance of it. So what had they forgotten? They'd forgotten that they'd been in slavery. 430 years of slavery. They'd forgotten that the food was free. Why was the food free? Because they were slaves. And obviously, feed them up. They can work they can work even harder. We'll whip them, we'll beat them. It was free. But isn't it interesting what they remembered? They'd forgotten they were in slavery. They'd forgotten that they'd cried out to God that Moses had led them out of Egypt. And really what they were saying was, we want to go back. We want to go back to the place of slavery. We want to be in captivity. Oh, it's much better there. And I wonder for some of us whether there's times, maybe there still are, that we want to go back. God has called us out of slavery into freedom, and we have this selective memory. Oh, it's much better there. Much better when I was a slave. Much better when I was doing what I used to do. Now I've got to behave because I'm a Christian. Now I've got to be different because I'm a Christian. Oh, I wish I could go back. It was so much more freeing then. It was so wonderful. Life was beautiful. But it's only selective. And you forget the rubbish. You forget the pain. You forget the hurt. You forget the hardship. But it's interesting. The fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. And now we've lost our appetite. Because what God has provided for them, they don't like anymore. They've been crying out to God. And later on in this passage, God actually gives them what they want, meat. And Moses says to them, you're not going to get it for a day. You're not going to get it for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. You're actually going to get it for a whole month. So much so, it's going to come out of your nostrils and you're going to hate it. That's a nice picture, isn't it? God gave them abundance what they wanted. But it came out of their nostrils and they didn't like it. Why? Because they had turned their back on God. They'd forgotten who God was. They'd forgotten what God did. And it's so easy when we look back over our Christian lives, some of us, When we look back over our Christian lives, it's so easy to forget and have selective memory about what God did. And because I'm cheeky, what I'm going to say next might be offensive, but I'm going to say it. Is that I do wonder sometimes whether we're like the Israelites and we cry out for more of God and we cry out for more. When God is saying to us really clearly, I've given you everything. I've provided everything that you need. I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, and now you have been brought home. What more do you need? And it's like we're going, no, God, I want more. Please, more, more, more. Because it's all about me. It's more. Because I tell you this, people of God, if what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and now fills us with his Holy Spirit, if that isn't enough, we're in trouble. Because what more has God got to do to show how much he loves us? Yeah, but I want meat. I want more, 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 more. So I can get fat, 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 fat. Sorry, just hold it in. So I can get fat, 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 fat. Meat, glorious meat. They'd forgotten that God was a God who provides. They forgot that God had led them out of slavery into freedom, that God had made the way for them to go into freedom, into the promised land. And it's as though mentally they've got a choice. Do we go back to the slavery or do we enjoy freedom? Hands up all those who want to go back to slavery. Nobody. Why not? Sure, it was better. Good fun. But if we're in freedom, let's live in freedom. What I mean is, it doesn't mean freedom means we do everything we like. Freedom means that we do the things that the King has called us to do. And that we're shaped into his image. That's freedom. Into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And yes, we look back, but we remember the truth of where we've come from. And we remember the truth of what he's done. Because without him, we're in trouble. And without what he's done, we're in trouble. And it's so easy to forget and to have selective memory. But never ever let us forget all that God has done for us. And it's out of that remembering that we're transformed from the inside out. Because they say, why did we leave Egypt? Why, God, did you pull us out of Egypt? And I don't know whether you ever do this sometimes. Do you ever think, God, why did you ask me to do this? Obviously none of you, it's not just me. You know, because it'd be wonderful sometimes. If I go to church, it'd be wonderful, God, if I just sat in the congregation, you know, a bit inconspicuous, and I didn't have to stand up here and do what I do. It'd be wonderful. Yeah, Andy's nodding as well. It'll be wonderful. And yes, there are moments like that when you think, yeah, I want to go back. But you see, do I really want to go back to that timid, shy person who was scared of his own shadow? That's me, by the way. You know, and we all have dreams. I spoke yesterday morning at a men's meeting in Bucknell, and I was saying some of the dreams that I had. Getting married at 30, being in charge of a large teaching hospital in radiography. I even said playing rugby for England. Now, you see, the problem with that is I have selective memory of how good I was. Because even when we watched it last night, I'm better than those England players, and if I was playing, we'd have won. Because I'm that good. I wouldn't have kicked the ball in the corner. I'm that good. We'd have won. But it's selective. I wasn't that good. I was 9 stone wet through. If I was the size then that I am now, I'd be better. Well, I couldn't run. I couldn't run as fast, probably. But can you hear the selectiveness of it? And they'd forgot what God had done. And you say, when God does something, I have to hesitate what I say next, because at the earlier service, when I said it, well, I'm going to say, no, I am. Come on. Because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, I think that means that we can be passionate. Hands up, all those who watched the England-Wales game yesterday. Okay, keep your hands up nice and high. Now, put your hands down if you watched that game without saying anything, without moving, without getting involved. Oh, all the hands, maybe one. Now, isn't it interesting? Sorry, you can put your hands down. Now, isn't it interesting that we can be so passionate and enthusiastic about what was a fantastic game of rugby, and it was, but at the end of the day, Andy's Welsh. Shame, I know, we'll pray for him later. Oh, you are as well? Yeah, we'll pray for you later as well. Join the queue. all right, where was I? I've lost, I know. But what I'm trying to say is, people of God, that we can get so passionate and enthusiastic about 30 grown men kicking a funny-shaped ball around a pitch, and when we come into church to worship God, it's as though we go inside ourselves. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's not I'm expecting everyone to jump up and down from the rafters, but to be perfectly honest, some of us watching that rugby yesterday were crying, weren't we? The English ones of us were. All right, you're Scottish. You need a double portion. Some of us were crying inside. What I'm saying is that we were passionate and we're enthusiastic and we were ourselves. Stick us in church and we somehow morph and change. I don't get it. I don't get how we can be one thing in one place and something somewhere else. I don't get it. And you'll say to me, like the earlier service, they said, I'll tell you what they said. They said, what did they say? We're Anglicans. What was the second thing? That's right, we're Anglicans and we're too modest. Sorry, when people say that to me, it's like a red rag with a ball. I don't get where, because we're Anglicans, it means that we can't show our passion. I don't know where it says in the Bible. I don't know where it says in the Anglican service. Thank you. I don't get it. They're too modest. It's not shouting about ourselves, people of God. It's shouting about God and Jesus. That's what it's shouting about and all that they've done for us. That's what we're shouting about. If I want to shout about myself, I'm on a loser to start with. Because I'm not going to get very far. Let's not forget what God has done for us. Let's be passionate for the things of God. Not looking back, but looking forward, going into the promised land. Let what God and Jesus have done for us, let it transform us from the inside out. Someone said to me after the early services, I preached a similar service, it won't be the sermon, it won't be the same because it never is. But they said, could you hold classes? Could I hold classes? Really good question. For people who want to know how to answer questions that people have got for you. Good question, isn't it? It is. You know, could I hold classes? And I said, well, yeah, I could do. But, you know, at the end of the day, obviously people have been on Alpha, you might know a bit more, but at the end of the day, isn't it just demonstrating the love of Jesus? And what I said was, there's no pat answers. If there were, it'd be dead easy, wouldn't it? But here's a really good question for you, interview question this week. You're going to have to pretend that you're the children and families worker, you're being interviewed by us, and here's the question. Whoops. A 7-year-old girl comes to you and says, why did Jesus die on the cross? Oh, that's a toughie, isn't it? Because what? Because he loves us. Okay, good answer. But the danger is for a lot of us, the 7-year-old girl is just an illustration because it's people outside of church. And the danger for most of us is what we do is we use a church language. So we'd use the words like sacrifice, atoning, sanctification. And because I'm a bit cheeky, at the 8 o'clock service, we use a word at 8 o'clock in the Book of Common Prayer every week. And I say to them, I would like to find out what that word means and come back and tell me next week because we use it every week. It's called propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins. Everybody says it every week. No one knows what it means. That's not included in the new Bibles. But what I'm saying is, I want us to get off this thing of knowing the tune of church and not being able to communicate the good news of Jesus to other people. Because we use a language which is exclusive, not inclusive. We use terms which only we understand. In fact, the truth is, most of us don't understand them. We just repeat them because we've heard them. And the only way to learn, to be perfectly honest, people, is to do it. And actually, it isn't about answering people's questions, it's about listening to them. And my other tip is, good tip, read the Gospels and see what Jesus did. And so often, when he was asked a question, what did he do? Told him a story, or, thank you. He asked them a question. What do you think? How do you read it? Because he wanted to know what was in their hearts. In the hearts of the people of God was moaning and complaining. Did you like being moaned at? Some of you did. It's not nice, is it? And we don't want to be known as a people who moan and complain all the time. We want to be known as a people who recognize who God is and bless others. Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides, and Moses, it was his term, and turn. And I think Moses was justified, and maybe I might be saying this because I'm a church leader, but he went to God and he said, you know, these people, there's hundreds and thousands of them, they're always moaning to me. It's too much. Sorry, this is my translation, that's not in the message. He said, it's too much, I can't take it anymore. Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them? Yet you've asked me to lead them, and all they do is moan. And God was so gracious with Moses. He provided 70 other leaders because he realized Moses couldn't do it on his own. My next point, I'll probably chop it out if it's been taped, just in case somebody hears it, but I'm going to go for it. It's to do with church leadership. Because so many of my colleagues, friends, they run 6, 7, 8, 9, 13 churches. To be perfectly honest, it's too much. Yeah, I know things need to change. Or there's a lot of you sat in the congregation or in work. You're working too hard. Because anyone who's in employment, anyone who's in work, the pressure's on. People send you an email. When are you supposed to answer it? Immediately. You're always contactable. Pressure's on. Someone's got to say no, I'm sorry. It's too much. It's too much. And God provides 70 leaders who are full of the Holy Spirit, who prophesied, spoke God's word and God's truth, and communicated God's word. They heard from God, and they communicated it in a way that people could understand. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says that he'd love everybody to speak in tongues, but he'd rather that we prophesy. And I'm going to take prophesy today as speaking God's truth to those who don't understand it. That's a slant on prophecy. And I think we need that gift. I think we need that ability to communicate. Because how do you communicate to your friends? How do you communicate to your neighbours? And please don't do this. When you talk about your faith, please do not tell everybody about church. Please don't. Don't even tell everybody about me. I'll tell you why, because it's not about me. It's not about the building. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus. That's what they need to know. And the more you talk about church, you're just talking about religion. But I am always interested when people say to me, I can't bring my friends, family to church, because it's too much for them. Fascinated by that. Just too much. Oh, it's too much. Well, if it's too much, what are you doing here? If it's too much, what am I doing here? You see, you're introducing them to Jesus. And I know of a Jesus who meets people. I know. In the most charismatic church, in the most traditional church, God's interested in meeting people through Jesus. So yes, you can. So I'm not suggesting everyone needs to come to church, but that's just to counter that. So often that when we get together, the most important person that we encounter is Jesus. And we want others to encounter Jesus. So Moses couldn't do it on his own. God provided others to help him. Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides. A God who provides our every need. Everything that we could possibly need is provided. Let's not forget. Let's have the courage, confidence, boldness to step out of our comfort zone and to allow him that is in us to shine out, because he does. Amen. Thank you. You know when you're clapping and it's wonderful? Thank you. I'll receive it, because you do need to receive it, but actually the glory goes to him, doesn't it? Because actually none of us can do what we do without him in our life. So there's no chance. I'm not going to get big-headed. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that we learn to walk in freedom, the freedom that you have created for us and made for us through Jesus. Father, help us not to continue to look back to the place of slavery. Help us not to look back and misread it. But Father, help us to look forward. Help us to see you at work in our lives daily.